Very thankful to be with y'all this morning, and certainly have enjoyed the sermon that Brother Philip blessed to preach to us today. And I have just want to thank y'all for y'all's wonderful hospitality. This is I love coming to Little Union, and I hope I keep acting in a way that you'll keep wanting me to come back, because if you don't, I'll keep coming back anyway. And it's a great blessing to be with Brother Chris and with Brother Philip. Those are two wonderful brethren. Brother Philip began complimenting me on Thursday night that he spent the rest of the meeting throwing off on me. I throw off on Philip the whole meeting, and then I compliment him at the end. Y'all decide which one is more spiritual. But I highly esteem Brother Conley and Brother Krause very much. And if the Lord doesn't bless me with any liberty right now, then we can say that we've had a wonderful sermon and a wonderful experience in the kingdom of the Lord, and we have a lot to be thankful for. That experience that Brother Conley was talking about with the brethren there on the sea made me think about another experience that they had, likewise similar, in another boat, and in the same situation with the storm, but that time the Lord wasn't in the boat. And I am sure that must have been more frightening when you can visibly see the Lord, you have visible comfort, but when you know He's not there, then that allows fear to take hold of you. And if the Lord will, I'll get into that and pray that we'll have a blessing with it. But you know, and y'all have read this, you know what happened in that second experience on the sea in the storm. On that time, Jesus walked on the water to them. That's no big surprise. Y'all have heard that preached. You've studied it. But what's interesting is right before that happened, one of the greatest miracles in the Bible transpired. And that is what we call the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, where the Lord Jesus Christ took five loaves of bread and two fish and fed over 5,000 people. And it's a lot of amazing things going on in that miracle. There's a lot of great lessons to be learned from it. One of the things that I like about it, and I like the subtle things of the scriptures, and as Brother Conley said, to read your Bible slow, because you catch more of these things. They're there, but if you read it too fast, you won't get it. When the problem was presented to the Lord, that we don't have any food, these people are hungry, what are we going to do about it? And they said, well, we have five loaves of bread, we have two fish, but what are they among so many? You ever think about prayer when you bring your laundry list to the Lord, or your wish list, or your list of problems, and you're saying, I'm telling the Lord this because He don't know any of this stuff, so I'm telling Him this. I think that, but I know better, because He knows what we have need of before we ask. What are they among so many? And the Lord doesn't even address this complaint. He just says, make the men sit down. Translation, I got this. Stop complaining, stop the griping, stop the worry, stop the stress, make the men sit down. The Lord will enable us to do the impossible by telling us to do the possible. That's a pretty deep statement, even though it came from me. Because, I'm going to stop pacing. These guys got on to me about pacing yesterday. I like pacing. helps me to think, but I'm not going to, because it'll make a man if I do. Talk griping about little bitty things. Okay. No, I'm not. There are times in life that we come to that is too hard for us. There are times in the life of a church they will come to a point where it's too hard for them. Do y'all remember a Sunday night that I came here a few years ago? Things didn't look so good for Little Union Church back then, did they? No. Y'all remember I preached on Ruth? Remember that night? We had a good night, but it was a bad time. How's things going right now? Amen and amen. Amen. I think the Lord said, I've got this. Now just sit down. Make the men sit down. You brethren cannot take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed over 5,000 people. But you can make them sit down. And you can take the fragments that I'm going to give you, and you can distribute those to the people. That's something you can do. The Lord will give you something that you can do, and in doing the possible, at the end of it, you found out you just did the impossible. Because the Lord blessed you every step of the way. So what are you going through right now that seems impossible? What's bothering you right now? There's something bugging everybody in this building, and it's all different. I'm not picking it up. That's just life. That's just the way it is. What's bugging you? And you say, it's too hard for me. Just listen to the Lord, and He'll tell you to do something that you can do. And in the process, you found out you've done something you couldn't have done otherwise. And at the end of it, they had 12 baskets full. So they had more in the end than they did in the beginning. That sounds like a good meeting. Because we start out empty and we leave out full. That is a good meeting. And then he tells them to gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And I'm sure there's a lot more applications to that than I have discovered. Or that I've been blessed to see. But one thing that I get out of that is that you may hear something in a meeting that may not apply to you right now. But don't lose it, because you'll need it later. Or you may hear, and you may be full and just have been feasting at the meeting, and just one more sermon, you're just going to go into overload. And fine, you're full now, but what about come Wednesday, if you make it that far? Or Tuesday? Gather those fragments that remain, because you'll need it then. Something may be said at this meeting that addresses a problem that you may have 2 years from now. If you can remember it, you'll get a blessing. You've already got the medicine in the medicine cabinet. All you have to do is just get it out and use it. All right? But if you forget about it, then the benefit is lost. And I know this is not biblical, what I'm about to tell you, so take that in consideration to what I'm about to say. But it is interesting that there is 12 baskets of the fragments, and there were 12 apostles. So I like to think that each one of them got a basket. And an application I like to make is that a minister can feed from his own preaching because it's the Lord blessing him to preach. And he gets a basket in the process. Everybody gets fed because preachers are sheep too, and they need to be fed. Preachers need preaching. Okay. Pastors need a pastor. And I've heard some people say, well, the Lord's, preachers say, the Lord's my pastor. Get out of town. Give me a break. That's where, get out of here. I can't take that kind of stuff. The Lord is our shepherd. He's everyone's shepherd. But buddy, you need a pastor. And you need a brother that you can go to shepherd you and help you through times of trouble when you need it. We're not that good of pastors that we don't need a pastor. And you ever hear a preacher say that? You send them to me. Because I can't take preachers getting that way. So we gather up the fragments that remain. And I like to think, again, this is not biblical, but this is the word according to Brother Dave. I like to think that they took those baskets with them. Because Jesus said, you gather them up that nothing be lost. And they had the basket of leftovers, and leftovers meaning the fragments. And he sends them on a ship to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, knowing full well what's going to happen. He declares the end from the beginning. The Lord is never caught off guard. He's never surprised. You can't throw a surprise party for the Lord Jesus. He knows about it already. All right? We get surprised, but not the Lord Jesus. So he sends them to get, they're all 12 in a boat, and he sends them to the other side because he is going to go and pray. And they begin to row, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, bad things always happen at 2 o'clock in the morning, by the way. When you get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's always bad news. Okay? Even if it's a wrong number, it's bad news because you got woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. All right? Somebody going to send you a text at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's bad news. At 2 o'clock in the morning, a storm comes like the one they were, where Brother Philip was preaching on. But this time, Jesus is not in the boat. And they are afraid. And I like Mark's account. I like what... The more I study the Bible, the more I love studying the book of Mark. And as Brother Philip said, Mark brings details in there that the other writers do not have. And one thing that Mark says about this, which is extremely wonderful, and this is in the 47th verse of the 6th chapter of Mark. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. That is wonderful. Wonderful. Because the Sea of Galilee is 7 miles wide. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's dark and it's a storm. And Jesus is on the other side and he sees them 3.5 miles away. You cannot ever, my beloved, as the sheep of God, ever be out of the Lord's sight. You may not see him, but he sees you. You may think the Lord is not there. He is. You may think he's forgotten you. He has not. I forget my own children's names. I called one of my sons the dog's name one time. And I apologize to the dog. All right? How complimented was he to be called the dog? That's me. We We've got a better Father than that. He calleth His own sheep by name. How many sheep does He have? No man can count. Count the sands of the sea. Count the stars of the sky. It's innumerable, but He knows every one of them. As a matter of fact, He knew their name before they were given a name, because He wrote their name in the book of life. He remembers His sheep. You know, a lot of, and I'll take poetic license in a lot of the songs we sing, but we'll sing, "Oh Lord, remember me." He does. He does. You don't have to tell Him to remember you. He does remember you. And He does not ever going to forget us. And He's coming home to take us home. He's coming here to take us home. He sees them. He sees this little boat in a storm 3.5 miles away, 2 o'clock in the morning. And He knows what they're going through. When you tell the Lord what you're going through, He already knows. And He's already got the solution for it. He already knows how this is going to play out. And He's got what we need. So we ought to go to Him for the things that we need. And we ought to pray without ceasing. And Jesus walks on the water right to where they are. That is amazing. He rebukes the wind, and the wind is calm. The waves are calm. They pay attention. The waves and the wind are more obedient to the Master than even His sheep are. Because He will command us and we break His commandments. But the wind and the waves are always obedient. And He is the Master over them. He walks on the water. It's not that He breaks laws of nature. He supersedes the law of nature. The law of gravity, the law of volume and mass, the law of so many things. He's walking on the water right to where they are. And He gets there. And they're afraid. They think it's a ghost. That's the only logical conclusion that they could come to, because what man could do it? But it's Jesus. Verse 49, when they see Him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." He hasn't rebuked the waves yet. He's not in the boat yet. But when Jesus speaks to us, my friends, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. That's good. And He went up to them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They had just seen Him feed over 5,000 people. I like to think that those baskets of fragments were in the ship that they were in, and the reminder of it was right in front of them. What manner of man is this? Not only that, they had seen Him rebuke the winds and the waves before. They were safe. And yet, here they are afraid. Are we not the same? Have we not been delivered time and again? And yet, when we encounter difficulty, we go and we cry. And He understands. He knoweth our frame, that we are dust. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. But I don't want to do this, what they did, okay? That's why when I come to Little Union Church, I do not forget that Sunday night. Or other nights, or other meetings we've had. When I look at you now, y'all have survived the storm. And you're safe. I know not everything's perfect. But it's sure a lot better than it was. Now, who do you thank for that? The Lord. He never stopped pastoring this church. Other men walked out that door. Jesus never did. Because if Jesus had walked out that door, that would have been the end of this church. Even in the midst of the storm, be of good cheer. The Master is here. Amen. I'll amen that point too. Because I'm preaching to me. Since that Sunday night, Brother David has been through the storm. Brother David was out there. Brother David cried, "Lord, have mercy." And Brother David, at one point, thought, "This was the end. I'm not going to survive this. I'm not going to make it." And I forgot how often he has delivered me. I'm glad he understands. And he came to me in the midst of my storm and said, "Be not afraid." Why shouldn't I be afraid? Because it is I. All right. And just with a few minutes, I'd like to just turn a little bit to Matthew's account and then go right back to John. And pray the Lord will bless in the few minutes we have left. When the Lord comes to us in the midst of the storm, and we hear His gracious words, "It is I, be not afraid," this is not a time to tempt the Lord. As a matter of fact, there's never a good time to tempt the Lord. Because there was a man in that boat that had a little bit of situation going on in his head. When he hears that it's the Lord, Matthew, who was in the boat, I can't help but think that Matthew was writing this with glee. Because Matthew's in this boat, and there's Peter next to him. Well, Peter's pretty close. And Matthew said, "I cannot wait till this is over, because I am going to so write about this." In Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, it's, "And straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if..." Oh dear, we're in trouble already. Talk about the wrong foot. Do not ever begin a prayer with "if." "Lord, if it be thou..." We're going the wrong direction, Peter. "If it..." What are you talking about? He's walking on the water. He said, "It is I." Why do you doubt? We talk about the doubting Thomas. Here's the doubting Peter. "If it be thou..." The smart move would have been, "Come on up into the boat." Right? But Peter's not going to take the smart move. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Are you serious? See, I hear a lot of old Baptist preachers saying, "I'm a lot like Peter." Not me. And I'll pray for you. I pray for any preacher who says, "I'm a lot like Peter." Goodness, are you serious? Buddy, come here. I'm taking you aside. If I'm going to be like anybody, I'll be like John. He went from the son of thunder to the apostle of love. I like that. Or I'll be like Andrew. He's always taking folks to Jesus. I like that. Or I'll be like Bartholomew. Nobody ever hears anything about him. If I had been one of the apostles and Peter said that, I said, "Oh God, no, 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 no. We got him. We got this in the bag, Peter. It's Jesus. Hi. gosh, just get in the boat. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Don't ignore what he said. Just get in the boat. That's what I would have been saying. Be careful what you ask for, because you just may get it. And what you get isn't what you need. You know, a lot of times we say, well, the Lord knows what we want, but he gives us what he needs. No, sometimes he gives us what we want to show us it's not what we need. Okay? Amen. Peter, come on. Come on. Come on. All he said, come on. And you know the greatest miracle of all this is that Peter actually walks on the water. Now, I hear a lot of people saying, well, that's wonderful. Just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true. As long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was fine. But when he looked at the wind and the waves, when he looked at the waves and the sea was boisterous, he began to sink. And so, you hear a lot of preaching on this. Well, just keep your eyes on Jesus. I can keep my eyes on Jesus just fine in the boat. You see, the Lord never stopped saying, oh, by the way, absent all intelligent thought in being a Christian. He did tell us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He never, we have the mind of Christ, so we ought to use it. Peter is not using faith. There was no faith involved at all in this process. This was motivated completely by doubt and I don't know what else. Don't tempt the Lord. And when you see the path in front of you and the Lord is blessing you, then take it. And always keep your eyes on Jesus. And so he began to sink. Jesus comes to him and he gets rebuked for it. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now back to John 6. Back to John's account. And I'm going to start again. I'm going to start in verse 20 of John chapter 6. But he saith to them, it is I, be not afraid. Now, I just saw something in this, and I'm going to have to think about it some more, but I'm going to go ahead and say it before I think about it some more, which may be dangerous. I don't see where he ever rebuked the wind and the waves in this occasion. It sounds to me that the wind and the waves, they knew what was coming. A lot of times, I think, when we know what the Lord expects of us, and give it to him. Don't wait for the Lord to tell you to give what is already his. I see a lot of times people, well, man, my life is not doing so good. I guess I better start praying. Well, you ought to have been praying all along. You get a lot of stormy weather Christians. When life is bad, that's when they start coming to church. And then when life gets better, you don't see them in church, you become sporadic again. Am I stepping on some of your toes? Good. Come here, let me grind my heel into your toes. Shame on you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm ashamed of you. It's easy for me to say that. I'm catching a plane back to Texas. Get mad at me, I'll be on the plane going back to Texas. And by the time I get back, you'll forget about it. No, really, I'm helping you out here. Coming to church is your reasonable service. I don't beg people to come to church. You ought to be coming to church. You want me to call you on the phone to tell you what you ought to be doing? Do you ever call me on the phone and say, oh, by the way, I think you need to study because you're going to have to preach this week? Do you? As a matter of fact, if you've got to tell your pastor what he ought to be doing, something's wrong. No, we're not perfect. We need encouragement. But I'm not going to call and hold your hand and wet nurse you to do what you ought to be doing. Because basically, I'm going to step back and just, okay, let's just see how good your life is going to be without the church, without prayer, without Bible study, without a fellowship with the Lord, without fellowship with the saints. As a matter of fact, when you're in church, I'm going to tell you, you need to keep going, push harder, go further. Oh, you're in church, you're coming to church, you haven't joined the church yet? What's the matter you? What's the matter with you? You ought to join the church. Oh, you've joined the church? And how's your Bible study? How's your prayer life going? This meeting has been going on since Thursday night. What were you doing? What were you doing Thursday night? Were you here? Why not? Why not? Well, I got a good excuse. I've got kids too. I've got bills and mortgages too, y'all. I flew on a plane to get here on Thursday night. Am I making you feel bad? Well, you got something to feel bad about, don't you? Not my fault. I love you. I love H and everyone. I love y'all so, so much. Just imagine if I didn't. Again, I'm catching a plane tonight. Now, don't get mad, please. Because getting mad never helps anybody. Because if you hang with me, this is going to be good. All right? If the Lord blesses. The winds did not need to be rebuked. I think we can establish that. I think I just proved that. The Lord never rebuked the wind and the waves. They did what they're supposed to do. They were told one time, and they said, okay, we're doing this again. Okay. Guys, stop blowing. Time to stop blowing. Now, here's something that didn't happen the last time that's going to happen this time. Because I read that they were in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, which is 7 miles wide. At its widest point. It said they were in the middle of it, in the midst of the sea. Jesus walks to them. He gets in the boat. I don't know what happens, you know, does he sit down or what happens? Do they say anything? But I know what John, who was also in the boat, what he wrote about it. And I can just see John thinking, I cannot wait to write about this. Verse 21, then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Immediately, when he gets on that boat, boom, they're right on the other side. How did that happen? It's the Lord. Can you explain it? No, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let me tell you something, my friends. This is just a short little boat ride we're on right now. We're just on a ferry. We're just on a little boat. We're just on a trip, a short trip. Life is fleeting. It's just a moment in the scope of eternity. I'm 55 years old. I can't believe it. Where did the time go? I don't have any... My boys are older. I have a married son. I have children out of the house. I got children that need to be out of the house. Tongue in cheek. And it's wonderful. It's great. It's amazing. And I don't feel 55. I know I don't act it, but I don't feel it. And but it's gone by so fast. And you know, when I turned 40, life went into overdrive. And someone told me when you turn 70, it goes into double overdrive. It just goes faster and faster. And I look back that Sunday night at this church. I look back at my experience and when the Lord blessed me and it's over and it's good and the Lord is all right. Thanks be unto God. The Lord has taken care of us. He hasn't forsaken us. He's still the pastor of this church. He's still the pastor of my life. He's still my shepherd. Through the dark and the stormy, or through the calm and the peaceful. And all that, he has stood by me. And my beloved friends, this life will be over. And that's fine. Because when this life is over, then I'll be with him, soul, body, and spirit. And it's just going to get better. My friends, the best is yet to come. I think this has been a good meeting. In spite of me and Brother Philip, I think it's been a good meeting. Because the Lord has blessed us. But the best meeting is yet to come. I'm in good health right now. I feel all right. But my best day is yet to come. The best is coming, my beloved. And it's going to happen immediately. Let's just keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's stay in the boat, and which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's beg Him, come into the boat with us and ride with us. And though it will be stormy, or though it may be calm, yet our Lord is at the helm and piloting us, and He will take us, not just to the end of this life, He will carry us into the next life, where all is peace and love. I may not make it home to San Antonio this evening, but by the grace of God, I'll make it home to glory. I may not see you here, but I'll see you up there. That'll be a good meeting moment. We've already got our invitation to that meeting. We'll be there by the grace of Almighty God. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you, watch over you. I love each and every one of you. May God bless.